AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on your Tuesday. Matt Hunter here today. A few little bits of housekeeping, first of all. Molly Beck's going to join us to talk about how Wisconsin's falling into the seventh circle of hell with what can only be described as a coup, which, by the way, can I actually say this, is not the worst state Republican Party story of the day.
God.
Did you read what's going on in North Carolina? Holy God.
No, I'll get to that in a little bit.
But Molly's going to join us, of course. She's with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, so she'll talk about. She's stationed at the state capitol. They were booing Walker as he lit the Christmas tree today. It tells you if they're gambling that the voters are going to forget about this before the next election. Ooh. This is just bluntly a coup, that's for sure. I did also want to mention that this week of whole programming here brought to you by Todd Colet. Of course, he's sponsoring the station this week. You can sponsor the station, too. If you'd like more information about that, you can call us at 952-946-8885. 952-946-8885 is the phone number. Todd, of course, has got his band, Just Folk. They've got a brand new album coming out, Grounded. And the latest single is Don't Turn the Lights Out. Now, I put out both the CDBaby.com and the YouTube link to it. I'll put the CD Baby again out tonight. Go check that out. It's once again some good fashion rock for you as you try to deal with the age of Trump. And then the other bit of housekeeping I wanted to mention is, Hunter, today we did two of the interviews we're going to air over the holidays. We do a little quirky little thing here. We generally don't do best ofs. There are some, you know, there are some stations that do a lot of best ofs, or, you know, we'll do that, or we'll, you know, find some fill-in host to basically, you know, sacrifice their holiday. We generally don't try to do that. And what we started doing this, I guess, about 6-7 years ago. We started just recording a bunch of interviews, and mostly with authors. And trust me, this year I have had so many authors that have wanted to get on the air. I think the last author interview I did was Dirty Doc Ames, which was back in May. And then we had all the political interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And so we never really had time to get to any of the great books that we had. Well, we're starting to get those interviews put together. I had two sensational interviews today. When we go on vacation and over the holidays, we actually have brand new shows. So you can stay with us. You're going to have brand new content. Even on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, we're going to have brand new shows you haven't heard before. So if you stay with us, you're going to have some good new content there and great interviews that we've got, not only with some authors, but we're planning on Jeff Stein, one or two others I'm trying to work on right now. But we're going to have a lot of people coming in. As a matter of fact, Larry Millett's going to be back. He's got a new book out.
Nice.
Michael Broadcourt finally released a book about the whole Sandra Grazini Rocky thing. We're going to talk to him. He's going to be part of this. The interview today, just about the latest Prince book of early photographs of his career. Oh, my God, was that good. The stories that he was telling, that was just good stuff. So listen for that. We'll have that as we get towards the holidays a little bit later on. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. John Purcell. Do you remember when we had John on, Democrat of the Day, a long time ago?
I can't recall.
5A. This is a little patch of blue up in that up in the north central part of the state. John Purcell won re-election to Minnesota's House of Representatives. He sealed the victory with how many votes?
Oh, it's this guy.
Yeah, he wasn't eight. No, it wasn't. That was the election night call, was eight votes.
Uh-huh.
He's widened that margin to a total of 11. Purcell's margin over an incumbent GOP representative, Matt Bliss, grew from 8 to 11 votes, owing to a few voting machine glitches. The result will be certified within a couple of weeks, and Purcell, ousted by Bliss in 2016, will return to the Capitol next month. That's good because Purcell's four previous terms in office left him one of the most universally well-regarded legislators among members of either party. You know, it's... Purcell going back, and John Purcell, and I think I'll repost the Democrat of the Day interview we did with him back, I think it was in July.
Mm-hmm.
It was July or August. But we will repost that because he was great, and we had actually a lot of people call him, like, we miss him because he's a great DFLer. He's just a great DFLer. And because these clowns, Republicans, basically go on out, and I've been dealing with, as we've get into these ag issues with Trump, Trust me, I'm dealing with rural Republican voter guy going, you Democrats, all you care about is transgender, gun control, abortions, and you're horrible. And, I, you know, you try to talk to these people, and they're so, you know, this one idiot today, if you live in the country, you need a loaded gun every day for part of your daily routine. What the hell are you talking about, you psychopath? No, you don't. If you're law enforcement, maybe private security, or the military, I'll give you that one. But just the random guy? Thank God I always... What kind of godforsaken hellscape do you live in, Rick Grimes, that you need to basically have a loaded gun... Safety off, running around. You got to pull all the time, just running down the street. What kind of psychopaths are you? No, you don't need a gun all the time. Well, sometimes you need to get food on the table. They don't hunt in the metro? My God, half this town, when duck season is open or deer season open, evacuates. You know, you have to go tell the people in the suburbs you can't hunt here, sir. Why you would want to eat a suburban deer or duck, I don't know. But they have to occasionally do that. No, it's just this push by the right to basically take over rural America is finally coming to an end. Because you know what? The facade is coming down. The Republicans aren't doing anything to help you guys. They're just taking all your money and giving it to wealthy people and saying, screw you. Well, Purcell is a guy who's worked. He's worked really hard. He loves 5A. He's going to work for that district. He's going to work for those people. But he's also going to be part of a larger government that is responsible for the state of Minnesota. And 11 votes. 11. Do not tell me voting doesn't matter. There are 11 DFLers in that district. Well, I salute you. I salute you. You can. It doesn't matter who's up in 5A that wants to claim to be the DFLer that did it. I will give you credit. Nicely done. Well done. You fight in every one of these districts. They weren't expecting what happened in 2018. They weren't expecting that. They weren't expecting door knocking in every district in this state. They weren't expecting everyone in the state all of a sudden having a DFLer showing up saying, what have the Republicans delivered for you? And if you make this again... Like, you know, 2020, like 2018, they can't defend it. And Purcell will not only be back in the House in 2020, he'll have a larger majority to work with. And he'll be, he's got to be Senate, House leadership, isn't he?
I'm sure.
He's got to be eight terms. He's got to be one of the House leaders.
I mean, he's got the look of someone who's been at the Capitol forever.
Well, you don't hold that against him, though. Sorry, guys. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, all the politicians that just heard that are now mad at me. Sorry. I just had to take the easy shot. No, he's got to be one of the better committees. He's got to be one of the. Yeah, see if he can find what. Well, if his election's not certified yet, they might not have it up there. So don't worry about that. So. But John Purcell, I mean, this is good stuff. I am very, very happy here. 952-946-6205. The commander of the North Minneapolis 4th Police Precinct was demoted Monday after two officers decorated the precinct Christmas tree with a racially offensive decorations. I read that two officers decorated the precinct Christmas tree with racially offensive decorations. Two officers decorated the precinct Christmas tree with racially offensive decorations. Inspector Aaron Baird is being replaced by Assistant Chief Mike Kios, who previously served as the precinct commander, will take over day-to-day operations until a replacement is found. The department has not named the officers involved, but several sources have identified Mark Bonsack, B-O-H-N-S-A-C-K, and Brandy Steberg, both 21-year veterans, as the officers who decorated the Christmas tree inside the North Side precinct's lobby with the items. Both were placed on paid leave Friday, pending the outcome of an internal investigation. Boschak and Steberg decorated the tree with a pack of menthol cigarettes, a can of Steel Reserve malt liquor, police tape, a bag of Takis, and a cup from Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen, according to the sources. A photo of the tree surfaced on social media triggering public outrage and prompting calls for the officers to be fired. Attempts to reach the two officers on Monday were unsuccessful. Several listed numbers for them were either disconnected or belonged to someone new. Mayor Jacob Frey last week denounced that the display is racist and despicable, called for the officers to be fired before distancing himself from his earlier comments. In a statement following Baird's demotion, Frey said the supported chief Arredondo's decision, saying that it reflects a resolve to make a meaningful change. The incident drew widespread public criticism. Say the city council voted to reduce the mayor's proposed police budget by $1.1 million for 2019. It was largely viewed as a proactive insult aimed at African Americans, making another setback for the department's effort to mend frayed relationships with Black Northsiders. How? These two officers could be some of the dumbest human beings I've ever heard of in my entire life. How are you this dumb? How are you this dumb? And Matt's like, don't you dare, you have to brave police officers. How are you this dumb? Do you know what the last thing we need to do? Oh, I don't know. How about decorate the Christmas tree with a racist theme, you know, decorations? Wow, that's a great idea. Really? What did by the way, I think one of the main things I take away from this demotion of the commander of the 4th is that this was not there for just one or two days. This was there. People walked past this numerous times, and it was up for a while, and long enough for someone to take some photos of it and go viral on social media. It's inexcusable, and I think especially considering the treasure trove of racial tension between the Minneapolis Police Department and the North Minneapolis residents, the residents around the 4th Precinct specifically, the level of tone deaf stupidity, just bone dumb, displayed here is. I just, for the life of me, I can't understand. I can't understand how two idiots did this, and then I can't understand how anyone walked past it and said, "What in the hell? No, 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 no! Pull all that down! Pull it all down!" And apparently they didn't. And wow, I just. Though the officer's exact motives are unclear, department brass described the situation as the city leaders as a prank. Council member Felipe Cunningham later issued a sharply worded Facebook post aimed at those trying to downplay the decorations as a joke. These pieces of trash were deliberately chosen to represent how certain officers feel about the community they serve. That Black people are stereotyped to be mocked in the lives of those that they serve may as well be reduced to trash in the gutter. It's a racist prank, Cunningham later told the Star Tribune via text. There's no other way to see it. Police Union President Bob Kroll did not respond to two messages left Monday seeking comment. He previously declined to comment, saying the investigation was in its preliminary stages. Bob Kroll is not even commenting on this. That's how bad this is. The guy that would always defend the police officer, no matter what the case. Even he's gone silent. That one is the stunning one. That is the stunning one. David is in New Hope. Let's get him on in here. Welcome on in, David.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that the incident is sad on so many levels. Mm-hmm. I mean, two things that no one seems to have commented on yet. The first is that the decorations on the tree actually desecrates the tree. And the other comment I have is that a Christmas tree in a police station is improper on its face because it's a religious symbol in a public place, on a government place.
Well, and it's funny because, you know, I made a post on Progressive Citizen X, was it 3 years ago, David, where I talked about, you know, this whole idea, this garbage notion of, you know, this war against Christmas. Because if you go to any city hall, you go to any police station, any fire department today, there's a quote unquote holiday tree. Well, the only holiday that has a tree in it is Christmas. So it's a Christmas tree. And, you know, and the wreath is a Christmas ornament. I mean, I was taking photos around my town of these Christmas decorations that are on public land, the local bell tower started playing Christmas carols, and I just sort of said, I mean, there's no war on Christmas. Christmas is won by a mile and a half. So, you know, your point is valid. It probably shouldn't be there, but at the same time, it surely shouldn't. Even if you do have it, fine, but you shouldn't be making a racist Christmas tree, for God's sakes.
Yeah, truth of the matter is I kind of like the Christmas carols on the radio and from the bells.
I'll be singing something for you a little bit later on, David. I appreciate the phone call. Silver bells. Okay, all right. I'm not going to ruin the holiday season for everyone out there. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break, and we'll come on back. I got to get to, why did the stock market just basically bottom 800 points out today? I'll tell you why. Trump. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Vacuum cleaners. You buy them, you break them, and then you throw them away, right? Well, if you're ready to break out of that vicious cycle, we have the answer. Ever heard of A1 Vacuum? They've been around forever, offering better alternatives. So if you're ready to stop filling the landfill, give A1 Vacuum a shot. Located in Roseville and ready to show you something better. Find them at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316. Better yet, drop by.
Be sure to pick up your copy of this month's Natural Awakenings magazine, a free local guide to a healthier and more balanced life. Each monthly issue includes timely, local, national, and global stories. Learn about alternative and complementary medicine, nutrition, fitness for body and mind, personal growth, sustainability, and much more. Natural Awakenings can be found at area health food stores, food co-ops, and retail locations. More information is available at naturaltwincities.com. That's naturaltwincities.com.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
The Electric Fetus gift card sale is now through December 14th, both in-store and online. Buy $50 in gift cards and get a $10 bonus gift card, or buy $100 in gift cards and get a $20 bonus gift card. They'll also include their special January coupon book while supplies last. The Franklin Avenue Bridge is open, and it's worth the trip to Electric Fetus. Open 9 to 9 Monday through Friday, 9 to 8 Saturday, and 11 to 6 Sunday at 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis. More at electricfetus.com.
Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for all your holiday shopping. There's no better place to find that special gift for the book lover in your life. Pick up a new book or get a gift card at Common Good Books, your locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. Whether you're shopping for a child, teen, or adult reader, they'll help you get just the right gift. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or at commongoodbooks.com.
Between them, the officers have been cleared of wrongdoing by a grand jury in at least three separate fatal police shootings since 2013. Bonsack has been the subject of at least 12 complaints, including one open case through the Office of Police Conduct Review. Although the files are not public, none of the complaints resulted in disciplinary action from the Civilian Review Board. In 2010, former Chief Tim Dolan reprimanded Bonsack and another officer for requiring a couple in their 40s to hike up a freeway ramp after their car was impounded, although it's unclear whether the officer was disciplined. Steberg was also named in two recent Office Police Conduct Review complaints in 2017 and 2018, but neither resulted in discipline. She's also listed as a defendant in three federal cases between 2008 and 2015, claiming excessive force. Really, their judgment seems so solid, though. That's hard to believe. Wow. Gare Bear is in Minneapolis. Gary in Minneapolis, welcome on in.
Yeah, man, I think one of the reasons those police officers in Minneapolis are so disconnected from the people they serve is so many of them live way out in exurbia, way out in the sticks, and they're just disconnected from what it's like to live in the city, the people they serve. And it reminds me of Trump and those billionaires in the White House, those buttons of privilege. What connection do they have to the average Joe trying to struggle and make a living in this country? It seems like a lot of them voted for him, though I don't understand how they can't see through that.
Well,
thank you,
Gary. And I should be reminded when they, you know, I don't think Gary is that far off in regards to where some of this problem lies, is that there are a lot of officers who do not live anywhere in Minneapolis that drive in from, you know, from way out of the metro area, and they're not part of the community. And I mean, that's about the only way if you're not local, if you're not paying attention, you're not part of that community, how in the world are you? Well, that'd be the only excuse and example I could see that they would be so tone deaf in doing the Christmas tree like that. But at the same time, I mean, even if you come from a rural community where it's a little more conservative and, you know, a little less, you know, diverse, and you'd still think to yourself you wouldn't defile a Christmas tree like this in such a way. You wouldn't. 952-946-6205. Hey, in case you missed it, that slide whistle sound you heard from the east, that was the stock market basically capitulating. It started this morning when J.P. Morgan, and Kimbers, I want to give you credit, she sent me an article. J.P. Morgan went out and did research on Trump's, you know, gets from the Chinese after the Argentina meeting, where he came out and said, we're going to put a 90-day freeze, and they promised that they're going to review fentanyl, and they're going to review this microchip sale, and then they're going to buy tons and tons and tons of ag stuff and a bunch of tractors, and it's going to be great. Well, J.P. Morgan actually started doing some research from the Chinese side about what exactly was promised. And for lack of a better way to say it, Trump made the entire thing up. He made up all of it. There were no concessions. There were no agreements. There was nothing. There is no promises to buy ag products. There is no promises to buy tractors. There is nothing. He absolutely just made it up. And so after Monday, after all these promises of all this stuff, and by the way, I think on Monday, people started realizing there was much more smoke than fire when it came to Trump's comments about China. Because immediately the markets were 500 points up, and they only finished like 200 points up at the end of the day. Today, they just fell out because there's no there. This is, can you imagine if Barack Obama had just met with, Let's forget about China, which is one of our major trade partners. Let's say Spain, and nothing against you, Spain. Love you, Spain. Todd Colid's in Spain. Hi, Todd. If he was doing a trade agreement with Spain and he says, well, we couldn't come to an agreement. We're putting a 90-day hold, but Spain has agreed to basically buy a bunch of stuff from us. And Spain comes out and is like, no, we haven't. We haven't agreed to any of that stuff. The stock market would be collapsing 7-8% in a single day, even with that, because there would be a lack of faith within the system. And the only reason it didn't fall 3,000 points today is because, frankly, people think Trump's an idiot anyway. They already know he's a moron. They just don't realize how dumb he is. And I'm dead serious. He is really just this dumb. He is really just this stupid, and he thinks he can make crap up when he's failed horribly and people are going to buy it. And we all know this, and everyone knows this. It just is occasionally, like today, what happens is you get an example of truly outstanding incompetence. I mean, an incompetence level which we have rarely seen in our federal government, let alone from our president. And it is truly astounding how bad it is. I mean, really, how bad it is. 952-946-6205. Let's see, is Brad in Robbinsdale there? Let's see if he is there. Brad, you there?
Yeah.
Hey, welcome on in.
Okay, is this on air?
Yeah, we're on air. How are you doing? Good to talk to you.
Oh, I'm doing all right. Well, first of all, I was going to mention that, you know, this China deal is Trump just punted into the beginning of the next year. And one of the things that people should note is that also sometime early next year, the exception to that China and India have to the Iranian oil sanctions ends. And so we'll see how far the Chinese want to go along in, you know, helping us, you know, and helping, again, or supporting Trump in, again, ending their oil purchases from Iran. And so that should be interesting. And I should also observe that, you know, again, I've heard that prior to the great crash in 29, the stock market fluctuated violently, both in amplitude and frequency. So, you know, the last 2 days should maybe give people pause.
Well, and it's not just the last 2 days, Brad. Thank you very much. It is, it's been basically a year of this stuff, where 300 points up, 400 points down, 300 points up. The stock market's not designed to do this. And what's happening is, it's basically the same exact thing that happened in 29. You had a handful of people doing their best to prop up the stock market to prevent it from collapsing before they were basically ready to get out of it. And so that when finally it did collapse, you know, those are, it basically, it was, it gave them musical chairs. Everyone sat down, had their money, but all the people standing were left high and dry. Same thing's happening right now. I mean, the stock market makes no sense. Yet, you know, on Monday, that stock market should have never even gone up. It should have dropped dramatically. And I mean, I am a freaking radio host in the afternoon in Minneapolis, St. Paul. I got a business degree, but I'm no Wall Street whiz. Yet, if I can see this, I mean, if I can look at this and say, wow, this is bad. The other thing I want, Brad, just want to correct you on this. All China did was look at them and said, Trump came in and goes, you better do what we're going to do, or we're going to put 25% tariffs on your on all your products coming to our country. China said, do it. pass the mustard. Go ahead, do it. And in this 90-day recourse, this pause that they put into place, the only reason it's there is there's Trump and his administration is trying to figure out some way out of this. They either have to admit they were wrong. That's not going to happen. They have to either admit they're wrong, or they have to basically just go out there and tough guy bravado and hope that China doesn't raise tariffs on us, or they have to raise tariffs on China. And Trump is dumb enough to do that and torpedo the economy. He just is really that dumb. He is really, he just made up a whole bunch of economic news. And then he made most of the White House staff echo it and lie. And they did. Not one of them turned in their letter of resignation saying, I'm sorry, I'm not going to lie to the American people like this. Not one of them did. All of them said, yeah, China's going to buy tons of stuff from us. Unbelievable. Just incompetence layered upon incompetence layered upon incompetence and one big orange fool on the top of it. 952-946-6205. When we do return, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Molly Beck, their Capitol reporter, joins us. We will talk about the chaos in Wisconsin, the coup that's going on. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
The holidays just snuck up on us, and you've waited and waited all year to clean. So don't put it off anymore. Call Zero Res. Not only will it look and feel amazing, it makes your home healthier to get rid of the bacteria, dust mites, and dander lurking in your carpet. So hurry and call before the holidays and get three-room Zero Res clean starting at $139. And get $50 off when you clean dirt and dander's favorite hiding place, your air ducts. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com.
Hey, podcast fans. Did you know that StandUpRecords.com has live comedy CDs of some of your favorite podcast personalities? Folks like Jackie Cation of The Dork Forest, Robert Kelly of You Know What Do, the Sklar Brothers from Sklarbro Country, Doug Stanhope from Doug Stanhope's Podcast, and Mark Maron from WTF. You've heard them for free. Why not consider spending some money to find out what they do for a living? Just head on over to StandUpRecords.com or look for StandUp Records at Amazon.com or the iTunes Music Store. That's StandUpRecords.com.
Toyota-thon is on. Get over to Rudy Luther Toyota for huge Toyota-thon discounts. Rudy Luther is one of the largest volume Toyota certified pre-owned dealers in the U.S. They have the right cars in the best condition at the Rudy Luther Toyota fair value price. And Rudy Luther needs more cars and trucks to sell. So right now, you can get a great Rudy Luther Toyota We Buy price on your vehicle. Go to RudyLutherToyota.com for all the Toyota-thon deals. Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 94, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. It's Greek to me. Linden Lake, one of my favorite places to go. Great Greek food over there. The lamb is succulent. It's just fantastic. I love the grape leaves, too. They got all sorts of great Greek specialties and the Greek wine, specialty drinks as well. Catering available to 626 West Lake Street right there on Linden Lake. It's Greek to me, the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. Molly Beck is the Capitol reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She's kind enough to join us in an incredibly chaotic situation to talk about what in the world is going on in Wisconsin right now. Molly, I want to thank you very much. And by the way, if you need to go at any point, by all means, we completely understand, because this is pretty chaotic in Madison right now, right?
It is, actually, but I think I have a few minutes, so we'll be okay.
I loved your post earlier. They booed Walker when he was lighting the Christmas tree.
Yeah. He held a Christmas tree lighting ceremony today, and as you might have heard, there are a lot of protesters in the Capitol right now to protest the plan that the Republicans have put forward to take away some powers from the incoming Democratic governor and attorney general. Governor Walker has signaled he would support that plan, so protesters threw some outrage his way while he was trying to light the Christmas tree in the rotunda.
What you just described there, and what, once again, is the Democrats win the governor's office, they win the attorney general's position. The overwhelming Republican House and Senate has basically handed all the power to Scott Walker. And now that he's no longer in power, they're frantically – are they just rescinding the power they gave Walker, or are they going deeper and further, taking away further powers from incoming Governor Evers?
So they are going deeper than that. There was some legislation that they passed early on in Governor Walker's tenure that provided him more power over appointments, and they do take some of that away. But they also greatly diminish the power of the attorney general and allow the legislature to bypass the attorney general in defending their policies and hire their own private attorneys. They take away the power of the governor to approve or block any litigation that the attorney general engages in, things like that. So this plan goes far beyond what Governor Walker was provided in, I believe, 2011.
The Republicans aren't shy about this. I don't know if this is false bravado or they just think that everyone's going to forget about this by the time the next election rolls around. But they're basically saying, yeah, it's just, we don't care. I mean, nationally, it's being described as a coup, and it kind of is. And yet they don't care. They just say we're only in it for partisan politics. We don't really care. I mean, they tried initially to put some spit and polish on this, but the reality is they're being blunt. This is just because we don't like that. We want to have all the power. We've had the power. We want to maintain as much power as possible.
So the Republican legislative leaders that have written the plan have said that they want to balance the branches of government, indicating that they believe that the executive branch has too much power currently. Obviously, Democrats are criticizing this, saying, why didn't this come forward before under Governor Walker, if they felt that way? And the legislative leaders have said, well, there's a Democratic governor coming in, and we want to make sure that the policies that we have enacted over the last 8 years don't disappear overnight.
Well, I understand what they're saying, but I mean, there have been numerous Republicans, at least I've seen some of the quotes here, they're saying, yeah, this has to do with the Democrat being coming in.
Right. Yeah, they've acknowledged that. They're saying that this is, you know, that's our explanation about the timing of it, that this is why they didn't bring it up before, because they had a friendly relationship between Governor Walker and the legislature. They don't expect that to happen under a Democratic governor. So that's why they want to do this now before he takes office.
North Carolina tried this, and they actually got smacked down pretty good. Now, I understand that the Supreme Court in Wisconsin is a different beast, but at the same time, there is a lot of people speculating that, you know, that this draining of executive power from a legislative branch is, you know, it basically there's a chance it could get overturned. At least that's what I've read on, you know, non-Wisconsin side of things. From what you've read, I mean, if they pass this bill, how will it stand up to constitutional challenge? Will it, or basically is there, you know, there's no way they can stop, the Democrats could stop it?
So these measures, if they're passed, a lot of Democrats have said that it will most certainly end up in court, and there have been Democratic groups that have already said that they will sue over it. Whether or not it is unconstitutional or constitutional in the eyes of the judge, I'm not sure, obviously, because it hasn't happened. You know, it hasn't been brought to that point yet, but the lawyers that I've talked to, a conservative constitutional lawyer has said that he believes it's fine, and one that leans liberal has said it's not. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see when it gets to court how it shakes out.
There is this got to be an overriding question here. Do the Republic? I mean, I don't think anyone's really getting fooled by this. I mean, they might be putting out, well, we've always thought that there was a misbalance of power, but the reality is this is just basically, you know, pouty little kids who basically are upset that they lost the game, and so they're taking their toys and they're going to go home. Are they? I kind of get the impression. I understand there's gerrymandering in Wisconsin, and it is, you know, scientific how they did it over there. But at the same time, I have to ask the question is, I mean, if something like this seems to be, at least from the stories I'm seeing up in Minneapolis, St. Paul, souring a lot of pro-Republican areas, like, wait a minute here, this seems to be going way beyond what we would like. Is that a realistic, you know, pulse of the Wisconsin populace, or are most of the Republican districts like, hey, this is a great idea?
You know, nobody testified in favor of the bill when it was before the committee that took the public testimony last night. Nobody testified in favor. I have seen a couple high profile Republicans criticize what's going on, but for the most part, I haven't heard much about it. And the fact that it's gone this far suggests to me that it has support and that the lawmakers putting it forward aren't concerned about major pushback from the people that support them typically. It passed the legislature's finance committee, which was a big test of it. And it's, you know, the floor sessions are underway, which, you know, suggests to me that the Republicans think they have enough votes to pass it. And I just don't think they would do that if they thought there would be incredible repercussions immediately.
Is there do you feel as if this is a slam dunk, that there's no way this is going to stop? Or do you feel that at least in one of the bodies, there might actually be a surprise yet?
There might be a surprise in the Senate. I think it will surely pass the Assembly. But I have heard that there have been, you know, longer debates among the Republican caucus, over the measures. I don't know exactly which measures are the sticking point for different groups within the caucus, but the Senate could still divide us.
And Scott Walker for sure is going to sign it.
He hasn't said that specifically, but we asked him yesterday, and he expressed support and explained that he didn't believe that the measures were really that much different than what they've been doing already, which suggests to me that he's signaling support for it by saying things like that.
Oh, it doesn't change much. Oh, really? All right, wow. The war against the incoming attorney general, that's the one that seems a little more interesting, because I think the governor's getting his rules taken away. Let me clarify one thing really quick. The governor still has a major say in governor legislation, and he could end up actually. This could, I think that there is a tendency for this to come back and bite the Republicans, because they still have to get bills through past the governor, correct?
Right. So, I mean, the fact that he exists will affect what kind of legislation they put forward anyway. What will be affected is his authority over things like how agencies operate and what they spend money on, and the head of the jobs agency, for example, which is the agency that oversees the Foxconn contract, he won't be able to pick that secretary, which is a big deal. So things like that will be affected for him. But as far as legislation goes, he's still the person that signs the bill or not. So they will have to take that into account when they pass it.
Well, and so aren't they cutting off their nose to spite their face? I mean, if I'm the governor at this point, I'm saying good luck. You know, until you pass me, you send me the bill back that undoes all this stuff. Don't even send me a bill, because I'm not going to sign anything. And if the governor was actually the incoming governor was actually pretty smart, he could probably sell that. Governor Dayton had to work with that in Minnesota a few times, where the Republicans were trying to push him in the corner, and he pushed right back. Has he put forward any argument that maybe it's like, okay, here's the deal. Don't even throw any pieces of legislation at me. I don't care what it is. The first piece of bill I do is undoing what you're about to do.
He hasn't said that. What he has said is that he would seriously consider suing over this. And that is what happened in North Carolina, too. The Democratic governor sued over the limitations that the legislature passed before he took office. And Governor-elect Tony Evers has said the same thing.
They really are going after the attorney general's office, though. I know that part of it is they don't want the attorney general to be able to withdraw from any federal cases without congressional support down there. But, is there anything? I mean, we have Keith Ellison's coming in as the attorney general up here, and trust me, a lot of Republicans are not happy about that. But, I mean, is there an underlying story there about the attorney general's office, or is just basically they're trying to hamper that so that he can't undo things through the legal system?
Right. So there, throughout the campaign, both Tony Evers and Josh Call campaigned on withdrawing Wisconsin from the federal lawsuit that would overturn the Affordable Care Act. That was a huge issue for both of them. And Governor-elect Tony Evers says that is one big reason he won. And so one of these measures appears to prohibit the governor from approving or blocking actions from the attorney general, which has the effect of removing his power to go along with the attorney general to withdraw from the lawsuit. So now the legislature has that power, and the Republican-controlled legislature is not going to withdraw from that lawsuit. So that's one big immediate effect that we're seeing from the limitations. The rest of it is just the attorney general is a powerful office and has the power to sue over policies and not defend other policies that the legislature might wish that he would. And so they're trying to limit what he can or can't do in that way.
Well, and this is a real dangerous path here. I mean, you have to, I mean, there's a reason why the attorney general exists within a state. You have to have that. And it sounds like what they're trying to do is turn him into basically a glorified meter maid that doesn't really have any power at all.
And I asked him today if he would still, if he still would have run for the office, if the office was, shaped the way it will be under these measures. He said he still would run, but he said that it's something that is a repudiation of the election, because people elected him to the office as they thought it would be under him, not the way it would be under this legislation.
I think that what's interesting, and I know you're more of a journalist. For me, if I'm Evers, I'm going to war. And then just starting to saying, if this is the game you want to play, like I said, I have zero doubt that ever since Scott Walker lost, the shredding machines and delete buttons in that state capitol have been going 1,000 ways from Sunday. But at the same time, if this is the game they're going to play, I think that, you know, just, you know, saying, gosh darn it, is probably not going to be enough. And I don't get the impression from Wisconsinites that that's the kind of governor they want, that someone that's going to just roll over and take something like this.
No, and I mean, there's been a lot of, you know, public outcry over this here, and I don't believe anybody thinks that he's just going to be like, oh, you know, that's how it is. Like, he has said that he would go to court over this, which is probably, you know, all he could do at this point.
It really is, like I said, it's getting a lot of national headlines. It's being described as a coup. I have a hard time, you know, it's clearly a legislative branch trying to overrule the executive branch and trying to use the judicial branch to back them up. I mean, I don't quite know what it is. I mean, it is kind of, has there been anything ever like this before in Wisconsin, to your knowledge?
Not that I know of. We've been trying to figure that out, and we haven't seen anything that would suggest that something like this has happened before.
Wow. All right. Well, first of all, I appreciate the time. I know it has been chaotic over there. We'll keep an eye on this, and by all means, let me know if you have some time either later this week or next week to talk about the outcome of this and where things go from there, because I'm going to presume that this is going to be like Foxconn. This story is not going to go away anytime soon.
No, it won't. And yes, I'd be happy to come back.
Molly Beck, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, down in Madison. Molly, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me.
You're my pleasure. We'll spotlight that interview. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. Let's talk a little bit about North Carolina when we come back, because, wow, I can't believe what they tried to pull over in the Wisconsin and North Carolina 9. We'll talk about that when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman for Continental Diamond. You've heard me talk about this place for a long time, and this holiday season, it's time to get your loved one a gift that will last a lifetime. Their experts know all the latest trends and will help you find the perfect gift to fit any budget with an amazing in-stock selection to choose from. Stay away from the craziness of the malls and visit Continental Diamond, adjacent to the West End in St. Louis Park, and at ContinentalDiamond.com. That's Continental Diamond for the perfect holiday gift.
Hi, this is Laura, and I want to tell you about my family's favorite thing. It's our wood stove. We bought it about 14 years ago from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And see, the wood stove has actually paid for itself because we can keep the main area that we live in toasty warm with this great moist heat. But more important than saving money, it has actually improved our lives. Having a fire simplifies life. It provides comfort. It sort of takes the chill out of winter.
I'm Peter Solak. In 1977, I started Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and I experienced the simple joy of warming myself by a fire. I also realized that the place and the way we embrace fire has evolved in a diversity of forms and styles. So at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have brought together the widest selection of our fireplace products and technical knowledge in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to use our knowledge to help you choose the design and function that is right for you and your home.
Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years' experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Hi, everybody. This is Paul Metz inviting you to listen to my radio show, The Wall of Power Radio Hour, every weekend on AM 950. We feature cool people from all walks of life and from all 50 states. In 4.5 years, we have featured musicians, actors, politicians, homicide cops, record stores, Metzawakumentaries, Bob Dylan's first drummer, and more. Every weekend on AM 950, 6 p.m. on Saturday, 4 p.m. on Sunday.
And that's not even the most bizarre state Republican story. Not even close. You know, let's head out to North Carolina, Hunter. Beautiful. Have you ever been to North Carolina?
Oh, yeah.
I love that Carolina barbecue, the vinegar base.
Yeah,
that's delicious.
I know, that is really good.
Oh, that. Anyone want a loose meat sandwich? Oh, that's good stuff. Reporter Joe Bruno of North Carolina local news station WSOC9 has tracked down another person who has admitted taking ballots from voters in North Carolina's 9th congressional district and giving them to a GOP operative who has been convicted of felony fraud charges. Bruno on Tuesday posted a video interview he conducted with a North Carolina resident named Cheryl Kinlaw, who says that Republican operative McCray Dowless paid her $100 to collect absentee ballots from certain North Carolina 09 residents. Instead of mailing those ballots in, however, she tells Bruno that she simply turned them over to Dowless, who she claimed had stacks of other ballots on his desk. She also says that she has no idea what happened to the ballots after she gave them to Dowless. She also tells Bruno that she had no idea that the Dowless actions were illegal because he's been doing the same thing for years now. Dowless is the center of election fraud allegations that have so far prevented Republican Mark Harris from being certified as the winner in the North Carolina 9 congressional election. According to a profile Bruno recently wrote about Dowless, the GOP operative has had a criminal rating dating back to the 1980s. He's also serving 6 months in prison after being convicted of felony charge in 1992. This is not – okay. They're burying the lead if you want to know the truth. How would Dowless know exactly who has the absentee ballots? Hmm? How would he know this? That means that the county election officials must be leaking the information to him so then he can hire people to go on out and get the ballots from them. Because to my knowledge, I don't think there's a state in the union where if I go to get an absentee ballot, there's a published list somewhere of who exactly has gotten their absentee ballot and where they live. The only way that you could get that would be from a county election official, which means someone in the county election official offices have been leaking this guy addresses for the absentee ballots, which should be pretty easy to round up. I mean, to give you an idea, even the Republican Party of North Carolina is like, what is going on down here? Because there still is there is a lesson we learned back with Frank and Coleman, and we've learned in a few other races, is that very rarely do people want to disenfranchise an actual vote that's been cast. Oh, Republicans have no problem stopping people from voting. But once a vote is cast, most people do not want to have big bins of ballot burning, because there's a tendency of that not going always your way. And they all realize that. And, I mean, you can go back, the election of Rutherford B. Hayes, where, you know, the Democrat had won. This was Grant's hand-picked successor. Rutherford B. Hayes was going to be his successor. And the Democrat had won. And so, all of a sudden, Grant did some backroom dealings with the southern states saying, we'll withdraw the U.S. troops, which was a huge mistake. As long as if Hayes wins, we'll withdraw the troops. Well, all of a sudden, the ballots went back into their individual states. And funny, all of a sudden, a lot of those state results completely changed. And the Electoral College votes went to Rutherford B. Hayes. That is – lately, that's kind of one of those things where, you know, you don't play games like this. And now that there are multiple people who have said, no, that this ballot was picked up by someone, which should not be happening. No one should be going to your door and picking up a ballot. And now you have two people who said, oh, yeah, that I was paid to basically get these ballots and drop them off at this guy's office. And this guy, by the way, has strong connections to the guy who won the race, the Republican who won the race, by 900 votes. Stacks of ballots on his desk. Stacks of ballots on his desk. I mean, hey, Republicans are showing their true colors. They have basically become so addicted to power, they will rob, cheat, steal, and kill to stay in power. And thank God we never gave him too much power here in Minnesota. Thank God for Governor Dayton. Thank God the DFL has come back. But my God, if we don't stop these people now, not much else will. We'll be back tomorrow. Dylan, see ya.